Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center, marking 50 years of compassion and care. Learn more at ANHC's Open House, August 5th, or at anhc.org.
Welcome to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Torda. Biking single track trail on mountain bikes has become very popular in South Central Alaska and elsewhere. Trails have proliferated and more are planned. Today I welcome Will Tegum, Rene Derbez to discuss what is happening in the Mat-Su Valley and Chugach Eagle River and the upcoming Alaska Mountain Bike Summit. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Paul. Happy to be here.
Let's start with you, Will. Tell us a bit about yourself and how you got into biking and doing all this stuff.
Well, you know, my background, I was a cross-country skier and really got involved in the Eagle River Junior Nordic program. And what is that, mid-2010s, mm-hmm. we had that winter with no snow. And all my buddies were like, I mean, fat bikes are the new rock skis, right? You can mm-hmm. you can ride around, you can get outside when it's muddy, when it's icy, when there's gravel. And so they kind of convinced me to pick up a fat bike, and I got way into that for a while. And then some other folks in our community started building trails by my house, and I asked if I could help. And
danger.
Here I am.
What you asked for.
Yeah, that was a convergence of a lot of stuff. No snow, a few no snow years in a row, and mountain bikes sort of coming into their own, and fat bikes also. Yeah, so interesting. Rene, what about you?
Yeah, well, boy, mountain biking, I'd say probably as a kid, I remember getting this Schwinn World Spirit, I think it was called, or something, road bike, and I got really into cycling, and that was, you know, the mid-80s. I think I got my first mountain bike maybe 1988 or something. It was a big steel Ross mountain bike, purple, very cool. And I've really been mountain biking ever since. You know, I grew up on the East Coast outside of Philadelphia, so certainly didn't have trails like we've got up here. But so bikes have always kind of been a thing for me. And then, moved to Palmer, and my son, who was really the one to take to cycling, I got involved with the Sprock Kids program, which is a program that Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers runs. I had my kid in that, and just started volunteering. You know, started thinking, well, you know, he should, if he's into this, he's got to, like, you know, be invested, right? So let's get him working on trails. So, you know, we'd show up and work on trails together and then ride those trails. And yeah, so now he's 19 and, you know, totally, eclipsed me years ago, you know, but, so that's kind of how I got started in working with, trails out in the Valley.
It's amazing what's happened in the world because of kids and motivated parents mm-hmm. and getting involved and volunteering. So good on you. So, Rene, tell us a bit about, the Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers.
Yes, sir.
Out in the Valley. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on.
What do they do?
Yeah. So, coming up on 20 years, actually, for Vumba, started back in 04, 05, and really started as a trail advocacy group for the Matanuska, the Greenbelt Trails, if you've ever ridden those. So this is like stretch of trails that's kind of between the Glen Highway and like the Palmer-Wasilla Highway. So started there and just sort of morphed into what it's become today. So, you know, I think some of the first trails that Vumba built out there in the Crevasse Moraine Trail System. Some of you guys may have ridden those, the Mooseberry Mesa, Moose Poop Loop. Those were kind of like 06, 07, those trails were built. And since then, you know, Vumba's just kind of been the leading voice for non-motorized trail usage and trail advocacy in the Valley. And on top of that, you know, we continue to build trails. So some of the newest stuff that we're building out there is up at the Government Peak Recreation Area. We also have a trail care agreement with the Mat-Su Borough, so we do a lot of trail maintenance. We've signed on to maintaining some of the trails on our own to kind of help the borough out. And, so a lot of trail advocacy, a kids program, building trails, maintaining trails, and just trying to get people excited to get out on the trails.
Yeah, when I first showed up in Alaska in the mid-80s, the only trail was straight up Lazy Mountain. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, that was it. And now one of the things I volunteered on was building the Lazy Moose Trail.
Oh, yeah, that was our trail, 09. Yeah, that was Lazy Moose Trail, 2009.
I was out there, you know, hacking away at dirt.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I was hacking away at dirt. Well, volunteers make it happen. Why don't you, Renee, tell us a little bit about the trails and about it. You mentioned a few, but I know that, you know, there's also a lot going on in the Matanuska Moose Range. What else is out there for people that they can go right now and ride on?
Well, like I said, the Greenbelt, that's got about 33 miles of trail in the Greenbelt. So that's a pretty extensive system, you know, definitely all level. I mean, you're not going to find any double black diamonds in the Greenbelt, but you've got a lot of old school rooty stuff and, you know, some nice single track, and there's some flowy stuff out there, but that's, you can spend a day out there in the Greenbelt. So that's a favorite of mine. The Plumlee Maud Trail, that's another trail that a lot of people don't know that kind of connects out to, you know, the Kinnick River public use area. So you can actually, you know, go from Maud Road out there in the Butte and kind of ride trails pretty much all the way out to Jim Creek. And in the winter, that's a lot of fun because it's all frozen. And there are some folks, I don't know who they are, but people groom out there, which I really appreciate. It's actually a time of year when snow machiners and fat bikers can coexist, because I'm looking forward to them getting out there and kind of flatten some of that stuff out for me. But that's a good time. A lot of other stuff. So GPRA, a lot of people probably know that system. That's also a very good winter system because we groom that. We've got volunteers who step up to the plate and groom that. We've got a couple different groomers that we run up there with snow machines. The Moose Range, which is right before the Government Peak Rec Area, kind of off to the right-hand side as you're heading toward, you know, not quite to the Little Sioux. Moose Range, again, volunteers groom that. We don't really have a part in grooming that, but we ride it quite a bit. We lead some rides out there in the winter. We call it Moonlit Miles. We'll take groups out there and ride those trails. The Moose Range is a lot of fun. There's some new trails out in Wasilla. We're not part of that, but you've got the coastal trail out there off of Kinnick Goose Bay Road. Huh. And they've got actually 7 miles of trail out there. And I know that they groom some of that for the winter. That's some pretty cool stuff. That's pretty new. I'd say that probably Hatcher Pass, there's a lot of bikeable stuff up there. We'll volunteer sometimes to kind of hack on the 16-mile trail and do some work out there, that downhill trail. But there's a lot of good stuff that you can ride up there in Hatcher Pass. Kind of nuggets that are unknown, I would say. One of my favorites, which I don't know how many people are up to the challenge, but you should be, because the Eska Falls Trail, if you've ever hiked that, that is a lot of fun on a mountain bike. And there's ATV trails out there too. So if you catch it on the right day or right time, coming down those ATV trails on a mountain bike is very, very much like an Alyeska style, you know, downhill trail. Yeah. So that could be a lot of fun. Bring your full suspension bike for that. I've done it on a hardtail and it's doable, but a little sketchy. So those are some of my favorites. You know, I would say for us, our focus is maintaining, like I said, those trails where we have a trail care agreement with the borough, mostly in the Greenbelt. The Palmer Bike Park, which is the Matanuska River Park. There's some mountain bikes trail. They put in a new ADA trail there, which is pretty nice. But we have a little pump track there that people can ride. We maintain that. The stuff at GPRA, some of the trails in the Greenbelt. But I would say as far as building goes with new trails, it's our focus is really the Government Peak Rec Area. Yeah.
And we'll come back to new projects later in the show. And that's Government Peak Recreation Area. And when you talk about the Greenbelt, you're talking about like the Matanuska Lake Rec Area, Bradley Kepler area. Is that right?
The earliest point to get on is on that side would be Matt Lakes. Across from Matt Lakes, the Kinwin Trailhead, which is kind of like by the UAF Experiment Farm.
Yeah,
that's kind of like one entrance, and then the other entrance or exit would kind of be Crevasse Moraine Trailhead, which is right close to Palmer.
Yeah,
and then it all kind of snakes in behind the college and connects all of that.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All great. And there are maps for those, because I got out there and I got lost.
The signage isn't the best out there. Yeah. We've talked about kind of coming up with a plan to re-sign some of that stuff. But, I mean, it'll get you where you're going. A lot of the stuff is on Trail Forks.
Yeah.
So if you can get on Trail Forks, it's on there. Some of it's on Strava. Yeah, but it you can get turned around there quite a bit. But yeah, it's a cool place to get turned around in, though. You know.
Yeah. And for those Luddites out there, let me, Trail Forks is an app on your phone.
Yes, sorry, so, yes, yeah. Yep.
All right,
yep.
That's a lot going, I mean, like I said, I started out in the valley in the mid-80s, and there was nothing, right?
Yeah.
And so really fantastic to see all the opportunities out there. Well, talk to us about Turiak and Eagle River. What's going on in that area? We'll talk about your club, first of all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks. So we...
You are
about,
the club.
Yeah, so about 7 years ago, we formed the Chugach Mountain Bike Riders, and that was kind of born out of an effort. We had partnered with Ptarmigan Trails, a trail builder that has since moved out of state, and we're sponsored by Alaska Trails to start building the very first mountain bike trails in Chugach Eagle River at Mirror Lake Park. And so we have really, really invested in that park system there. We've got about 6 miles of single track trails, really designed to complement the middle school that's right across the highway. So we were really thinking of a neighborhood kind of destination, because you know, before that you either had to drive a half hour north, you know, to the valley, or you'd have to drive a half hour south to get to Anchorage. And, you know, Chugach Eagle River is a fairly good sized community. And so it took some of these local residents to really, you know, partner with the Muni Parks and Rec Department, the Chugach Eagle River Parks and Rec, and develop the system out there. Most recently, we've opened, kind of upped the quality. We've opened what we call Ben's Bike Playground, which has a pump track for, you know, all ages, but has been really, really popular with the little kids. It's right, so if you're familiar with Mirror Lake, kind of the beach right off of the Mirror Lake exit on the Glen Highway, you just go to that picnic area right at the beach, and it's just at the other end of the parking lot. So a lot of families go there. Bring in the really surprisingly little kids. There's these balance features that you can, you know, Strider bike over, or you can have the parents ride some of the jumps. But they're all these kind of challenge features that you can go slowly over and just roll your bike over them. Or if you're, you know, a rowdy youngster, you can like get some air and jump them. So it's really designed to teach all ages how to kind of level up their skills and develop their riding, moving from like a bike path into being a confident mountain bike rider. And then they can go and hit these crazy trails, you know, down in Girdwood, or the steep stuff on the hillside in Anchorage, or the brand new, you know, gap jump out at Government Peak.
And well, you can be rowdy at any age, right?
You can be rowdy. That's what I said. Okay. For all ages, you can be rowdy. So, yeah, we've been really, really focused on that. But, you know, the thing about Mirror Lake Park, it's about a mile past the end of the bike path. So, unfortunately, the kids that live just north of the park don't have any way to get there, right? Uh-huh. So it's just the Glen Highway. And so the other thing that we've really, really been pushing for is advocating for connectivity with our bike paths and in the community. And we've had quite a bit of success on that part, on getting projects scheduled for extending the bike path down Eagle River, extending the bike path out further out the Glen, having improvements. So we're not just single track, but we're trying to represent, you know, all types of cycling in Chugach Eagle River.
And the single tracks, is that also, where's the access to the single tracks? At Mirror Lake?
So Mirror Lake, yep. You just go right to the beach there and go to the other side of the field and off you go.
All right.
We've got
and
a
where,
big map.
Where are they? I would say I drive by and there's Mirror Lake and I'm like, oh, there's the lake. And so are they between the highway and like, where do they go?
So you're driving north towards Palmer. You see the Mirror Lake exit. You pull off and you're looking at the start of the jumps. I mean, right, it is It's 50 feet off the highway.
Gotcha.
And then those trails go back to basically the base of the mountain there. And tucked all between. There's Mirror Lake, and then there's Edmonds Lake back further in the park. And, one side is the Eklutna property. The other side is Boy Scout property. It's, it's right next to the Chugach State Park. So it's this little, chunk of regional city park that is set aside right there.
You are listening to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Tordak. Today we're talking about mountain biking in Chugach Eagle River all the way up to the Mat-Su Valley. You mentioned the connector idea. Expand on that a little bit, the connection of and how trails connect and why that's important and some of the projects that are moving forward to do that.
Well, the biggest project that's moving forward right now, we are in the planning phase with the Chugach Eagle River Parks and Rec to start construction of the northern extension of the coastal trail. So this is a vision to connect Eagle River to Eklutna along the coast. And much of it is public land, and much of it is large landholders. Alaska Railroad, the airport, Eklutna. The section that we're building first is all within Beach Lake Park. If you're a Nordic skier or a dog musher, you'd be familiar with that park. But if you're not, you probably won't be. It's the largest regional park in Chugach Eagle River, 1,600 acres. It connects the Glen Highway to the inlet. And I would say most folks in Eagle River don't realize that they have a saltwater access in that town. And so we're really, really excited. We've actually partnered with the other major trail groups, the Chugach Dog Mushers Association and the Chugach Eagle River Nordic Ski Club. And we have come up with a plan that basically improves all three trail systems. So improves mushing trails by helping repair and expand their trail system. The ski club is developing like a kids kind of play area. And then what our plan is right now is to put a fat bike optimized multi-use trail. It's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
But basically we're building a multi-use trail that you're going to be able to walk your dog on, you're going to be able to ride your bike on. It's going to be hardened with gravel, but the main thing that makes it unique for Eagle River is it'll be groomed for winter use, because all of our paths out there are either hiking paths or they're along the highway, which is plowed. So we don't have a Chester Creek, and we don't have a coastal trail yet. So we're super excited. This is going to be, it's going to connect with the long trail, now known as the Alaska Traverse. Amazing development for our community. And that's going to be, it's in the planning process with the city.
So
right
is
now.
There a route, like an idea of a route? Like I think about Ship Creek Trail, where it ends, and how's that going to work?
Yeah, so, right now it would start at the Chugach High School, and that is the corner of Beach Lake Park, and would punch straight north right along the edge of base. And would connect right to the coast. So it's basically, at this time, it's coastal access. And a nice long gravel path that everyone's going to be able to use year-round, so...
And then the idea is eventually to connect that.
We are hoping, there are two access points that are public land. There's a large corridor that is publicly owned, but there's also private parcels, and of course we need to cooperate with the landowners. So,
And the Alaska Traverse, that's new news to me.
Yeah, they just announced the name. So the long trail has an official name now.
Just an official name versus just a long trail. Interesting. And how will that affect you all in Chugach and Eagle River?
Well, it's amazing for us because if you look at everyone either coming over Crow Pass, ending at the Nature Center, the Eagle River Nature Center, or going through Anchorage or going over any of the other passes, all those routes come to Chugiak-Eagle River.
Yeah.
And then in Chugiak-Eagle River, there's, you know, you have the option of staying high in the mountains, which would be probably a hiking trail. However, we do have some plans for some, we do have some plans for some high elevation bike packing in the park that are approved routes. And or the other route would be a low route, which would be usable longer during the year, which would come out the Eagle River Valley and then connect out to the coast on the trail that we are, in the process of. I mean, we have it flagged out. I was hiking in the woods this morning.
Fun, huh?
I was hiking in the woods this morning, getting the the GPS data to give to the. Landscape architects. It's happening. Yeah.
I assume that the mountain bike riders are take donations. Like, how's this all getting funded? Like, are you guys, like, how's that working out for you?
So we do take donations. About 10% of our funding is from individuals, and then we are able to leverage that donation. So every dollar you give to us, we historically been able to turn that into $10 of funding for trails through writing grants.
Yeah.
So yeah, but without that first dollar, we can't do it.
You can send something over to Vumbo too while you're at it.
Just I'll help you guys. It'll be fine.
Let's go back out to the valley, Renee. Talk to us a little about what's happening out there. Like, you talked about some projects coming up. And
yeah, right on. It's interesting. We'll mention the Long Trail or the Alaska Traverse. Yeah, right. We've actually been working on our little piece of that too. So if you're familiar with Government Peak Rec Area and Hatcher Pass or the 16-mile bike trail, it's got a green light to build a connector trail from 16 Mile across Ski Talk, if you've been to the Ski Talk, mm-hmm. the new ski area, and connecting to around Pioneer Loop at GPRA. So you'll have a connection from Hatcher Pass to Government Peak Rec Area, and that would also be part of that trail system. So we were kind of in the initial planning stages of that, but I don't think we're going to be in on the build. Somebody else has kind of taken that over at this point, but... yeah, so that's a pretty exciting thing for all of us out that way. As far as stuff that Vumba's involved with, go ahead.
So that'd be a non-motorized connector that sort of parallels the road, the Hatcher Pass Road, more or less?
Up high. Yep. And like Alpine. It'd be really rad. So
for biking.
Correct. Yeah. And hiking. I mean, it's gonna be as multi-use as you can get up that high, but I mean, you know the terrain up there. So I don't think you're bringing horses up there. But.
Yeah, well.
So this is an interesting thing, is that, we do have, there are some rowdy jump lines that are, one direction and are pretty high speed for biking only, but most bike trails are used by everybody, So, when we're saying we're building a bike trail, some of these are gravel paths, some of them are small little single track. They look like a hiking trail, but they're open to hikers and bikers and dog walkers. And so it's, I really want to let folks know, like, hey, so support these organizations, because it's, everyone's going to be able to enjoy the majority of these trails.
Absolutely right. I mean, up there at GPR, you've been up there. I mean, we'll sign them as such if they're bike only. For people's safety, they'll be signed that way.
And how many bike-only trails?
A handful. We've got some pretty high-speed downhill lines up there. All the new stuff we built is really bike-only, because it'd be too sketchy to meet folks walking up it.
But, yeah, so maybe less than a mile out of the whole system, though.
Maybe for us a little more than that at GPRA.
I'd say the same thing with us. We've got three kind of steep trails that are not safe. But out of that, that's maybe 10% of our trail system. So it's good to have those, because that separates the uses. So it's safer for everybody involved. But the majority of the trails are trail runners love mountain bike trails because they're fun, they're interesting, they're rolly, they're windy.
Yeah. Not to get off track, and I was going to get back to Paul's question about what we're doing, but I wanted to chime in there because although they are multi-use, one thing I would plead with people is if organizations are putting in all the volunteer hours and money for fuel and snow machine usage to groom those trails, please don't walk on those trails. You're right. I mean, they're multi-use. Well, so you might run on one in the summer, but in the winter when people are grooming those, that is the worst thing you can do. So dependent as well.
Well, one of the nice things about the single track trails being multi-use in the winter in particular, you can go run on those and you can do stuff on those, you know, and given that they're not going to mess them up too bad, but it gives an alternative for people than being on the ski trails, which does mess with the skiers.
Yeah, it's just being, I think what Renee is saying is whether you're on a bike or whether you're on foot, if you're causing post holes or a big rut, it's probably not the day for that particular item. And if you've got snowshoes on, you're helping groom the trails. I mean, it's not that. We just want people to be respectful of the work that goes into it. You're still allowed to go there, but be smart.
Yeah, I know in the Campbell Track here in Anchorage, there's a group, right? There's a large group of people that go out there in snowshoes. When the snow falls, they're out there. The first round is on snowshoes on the single track trails, which is pretty cool. And a few people I know do a lot of it. So, yeah. What else is going on out there, man?
Last summer, we wrapped up construction on some new trails up at GPRA. We've got a nice climbing track called Field of Dreams. It takes you way up, nice view of Kinnick Glacier and, out into the valley. And then that takes you up to kind of what we envision as a hub where we'll have, in the future, other trails branching off. Currently, we've got one pretty rowdy downhill trail that'll take you down and link up with some of our existing trails. Some good stuff. So really one really cool climbing trail up and then a trail that runs down and gets pretty rowdy. So it's kind of like a four trails in one thing we built last summer. We weren't able to open it last summer just because we had, that rain, right? So building all summer, hoping to open it by the end of the summer, but didn't happen for us. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think, so what else? Anything else, Brennan?
Yeah, so, really, we kind of do like a cycle where we build a season and then kind of maintenance the next season and then kind of put stuff in the works for building the season after that. So nothing really planned to start building next summer. But we've got some things on the radar. Like I said, that new trail system we put in or rather that new set of trails in the existing system at GPRA, we plan to build more up there and branch off that in the coming years. So,
and Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers, also a membership organization.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. Yeah, yeah. So we'll take all the donations we can get. So yeah, there are memberships or just straight donations, or both.
Volunteers.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we do. In the summer, we typically host trail work nights. Every Tuesday, people come up, put in their time. They can get a Matsuburo parking pass that they put in 8 hours, a little swag maybe, but there's some bennies, but absolutely, yeah, we'll always take donations and new members for sure.
Fantastic. This is Outdoor Explore. I'm your host, Paul Tordup. We're talking about mountain biking in Eagle River and Chugoyac and the Matsu Valley. I have Will Tegan and Renee Derves with me. We'll be right back after a short break.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Tordak. We're here with Will Tagan and Renee DeVais talking about biking out in Tuyac in the valley. Will, do you have some more projects you want to talk about?
Yeah, we do. We actually have trail builders in the park right now making more stuff. And I wonder if I should learn from Renee of taking a year off, because we've been going crazy.
Yeah, you guys been at it.
Just little bits, you know, little trails here, little trails there. Kind of a, you know, on the theme of trying to build trails for everyone, one thing that we do is, you know, as I was saying, some of our trails are you know, rowdy, and it's best to kind of not have hikers on those. So and also sometimes, you know, such as when it's a fresh groom for you know, you got to stay off that for a while, or if it's breakup and the trails are really muddy, we close the trails at that mm-hmm. time, just because fully saturated ground, I mean, it just turns to jelly, and all those nice rollers and berms and fun things could really be destroyed quickly. So
the struggle is real.
So what we are doing right now this week is we are hardening a 3/4 mile loop from the trailhead. So we're putting gravel down on some old trails yeah. that are muddy. So the hope is when we need to close a trail, we can say, stay off the muddy trail. And we have this beautiful 3/4 mile stroll on, you know, a nice gravel just through the woods, like just stunning. And so kind of this idea of, you know, as mountain bikers, we are the new trail group coming in to these communities. And we want to be really respectful to work with the existing users and really, really try to benefit everyone that's there. And so, you know, as we are investing in these fun rolly trails, we're also investing in improving these multi-use trails that are primarily for the dog walkers, you know, like we are going to use them. And the flip side of that is there's a lot of hiking trails around here, especially in Chugach State Park, that, you know, I know it's a little touchy in Anchorage, but not, you know, Chugach, it's a more open, you know, we're out at Eklutna, you know, biking that, and people are hiking that. And then along Eagle River, the parts of the trail of the Eagle River Greenbelt that are built, the lower river parts, we actually groom those for the nice. State park. We are the volunteer groomers, and we do the trail maintenance in the summer, like in the state park. So I feel like Chugach Eagle River has a very different relationship with the trails than and does not have, you know, some of the controversy. Like, we're a small enough community that the folks, you know, on our board for the mountain bike club, we have people from that are also on the Nature Center board and are also on the cross country ski board, and, you know, we've had mushers on our board as well. So, you know, it's all the same people doing all these multi sports. And so, you know, we really feel that, you know, we're really trying to integrate into the community. And then the other projects, so this gravel loop is the big one. And then the other projects we have are just some small, you know, we've built our trail system over the past 7 years, and we've discovered areas where there's dead ends, or there's areas that are really muddy, or there's a spot where you got to cross the road and you got to ride down the road 50 feet. And we're like, well, we shouldn't be on the road and we shouldn't be going through the mud. And so we're doing a lot of these little kind of, we're calling them the connector trails, but really just trying to like fine tune that system, so that when you're out biking, everything, you know, hopefully you don't even notice it. Like, you're just having fun and you're just cruising, and there's nothing that is really kind of, you know, blocking your yeah. your day. So
do you feel like there's a lot of glamour, and I imagine it's easier to raise money to build new trails than maintain trails. Is that true, or is that?
Of course. You know, and this is something we talk about is sustainability of our trail networks. And you know, what happens is you start developing a larger community. So rather than just building trails and having trail work days, which is what we did for the first several years, now we have a youth program with, you know, 80 kids going out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have you know, adult you know, every week we have adult fat bike rides, and we've got, you know, we try to do a festival, a big winter party race, you know, in at the nighttime, and have it all lit up and bonfires and stuff. So, you know, you have to evolve, and you need to continue. You know, the new trails are always very exciting, but, you know, the kids program is really exciting too, because you get so many parents that are invested. I mean, Renee is one of those, right? An invested parent that, mm-hmm. that sticks around. And kind of our job as the club is to provide that structure for them. Not only the structure of the trails, but also we're there to, you know, buy the insurance and get all the permits and really set it up so that then these parents can come out and volunteer. And, you know, I think the Valley has had a kids program around longer than we have. I mean, what are you guys doing out there?
Yeah, so the Sprock Kids program. Sprock Kids.
Sprocket.
Yes, Sprock Kids. All one word. 2010 that started. It wasn't Sprock Kids at that time. It was like a kids bike and hike, I think.
Uh-huh.
And that evolved into Sprock Kids. And I think this last season we had 140 families signed up for Sprock Kids.
Wow.
Utilizing the Greenbelt Trails and the Government Peak Rec area. So, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, those kids are the future of our organizations and our trails and our community. So, yeah, we want to.
And they're is it biking, introduction to biking? What are they doing?
They're different groups, you know. So, depending on their ability level, they'll get assigned to a group and then get coached, you know, to kind of get better, no matter, depending on where you start, right? So, but yeah, so we've got coaches that volunteer, they're out there and helping the kids get better, regardless of the level they start at. So.
And are they introduced to service, like in the trail building? And
absolutely. I mean, we definitely reach out to those parents and those kids, like, you know, hey, trail work Tuesday nights, right? So, yeah. So we do get a lot of parent volunteers from that group. So
and the programs themselves are volunteer parent programs. So in our club, we kind of have, you know, a couple. Basically, we've got subcommittees, you know, and one subcommittee is the trails committee, and those are a lot of folks that maybe don't have that age kid, you know, mm-hmm. they either have grown kids or, you know, or haven't had kids yet. But if you're a parent, like that's, you know, if you're coming out and running the kids program, we're very thankful. That's, you're doing great. You know, if you want to come out one day and show the kids how to build trails or how to do maintenance. So one thing, you know, we had a really late snow this year. So mm-hmm. we did get all the parents out because we were trying to clear the bike playground off mm-hmm. so that the middle school kids could ride it before school got out. And so we had a day with a whole bunch of parents with giant snow blowers and shovels, like trying to clear off a track. And I mean, it was fun. It was fun.
You know what you got to do? You got to get helicopters. We had helicopters this summer.
Yeah, can you tell us about those helicopters?
If you'd like. It was pretty
exciting. That sounds super fun.
So it wasn't exactly a trail building project, but it was more of a maintenance project. We got a grant from the Mat-Su Trails and Parks Foundation to airlift a bunch of gravel into the Government Peak Rec area, to that trail system. Because, like I said, last year with all that rain, we just had a lot of areas that washed out. And so we strategically staged gravel along the system for future maintenance and filled in a bunch of problem areas. So it was a pretty cool deal. But yeah, if you want people to show up, you get helicopters, you know, it's pretty cool.
The Valley, like the helicopters, what else is different about the Valley? I mean, you know, I can say a lot, but as far as trail use and the organization, how do you differentiate yourself from, you know, Anchorage and Little River?
Honestly, one of the biggest differences is motorized and non-motorized, you know, the crossover there. I mean, there, you know, you can get anywhere in the Valley because there's a ATV trail next to every road. So, and for the most part, you know, we coexist great together, you know, but there can be conflict there, you know, and, you know, you want to just make sure that people are using the right trails for the right thing, right? So that's one big difference, I think. that you see, you know, there's a lot of crossover between the motorized and the non-motorized groups. Stuff's a little more spread out, right? So you've either got to ride a long way to get to a trail system, or you're gonna have to drive there, you know. So stuff spread out. And then I would say also, you know, really, we built our first mountain bike trail out there, at least our organization, which was like some of the first single track, if not the first single track out there, was 2007, you know. No. So everything is relatively new. I mean, people were definitely hiking trails back in the day, but there was no single track built specifically for bikes until 2007. You know, so a lot of it's very new, you know. So, yeah, I think that those are some of the biggest differences that stand out to me, without a doubt. Yeah,
I'm pretty familiar with the Matt Nuska, the Moose Range, mm-hmm. and
love it
over the break we were talking about how that has just exploded in use and biking use, mm-hmm. and I think that's it's a fantastic area. There's a lot of trails out there.
Yeah.
You can get really lost. I mean, I've have a cabin out in that zone for 30 years. And I go mm-hmm. out there with people who live there for 50 years. And there's times when you sort of look at each other and go, which way do we go?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
At least you got the mountain sort of bracketing, so you can be like, okay, I need to turn
and
that
that's
way.
That's useful when the mountains are out. When
they're
foggy
out, yeah.
or it's dark out.
Correct.
It's a little bit different. Yeah.
Absolutely.
How do people get involved? Let's talk about volunteering and what do you look for in volunteers? What can people do?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'll go first, Will. You want to answer that one first? We can take turns here.
Well, the easiest thing is to either, you know, sign up for our email list, or, you know, honestly, Facebook is mm-hmm. probably the most active way to find out what's going on. But we also have a website that we, you know, update a little bit less often. And it's to show up for trail maintenance days.
Yeah.
We had, you know, two or three in the spring. One was, you know, the snow blowing day. And then every spring we kind of have a commitment, a maintenance commitment for our trails that we inspect them once a year, make sure they're safe. And we use that opportunity to go around and basically just touch it up. You know, what happens when you use a trail is it tends to create a depression in the middle mm-hmm. of the trail, and you have this little tiny berm, a little dam that blocks the water or from running off the trail. And so we'll go around with either flat shovels or rakes right when the trail's just starting to dry out, but it's still pliable, and then you just shave a little tiny, you know, inch off of that. Now, you don't want to take you don't want to dig a ditch.
Yeah.
So a ditch is very narrow. It's going to clog very easily. It's also going to be really bumpy and someone, you know, to ride over. So you basically shave off a big old swale that's, you know, several feet wide, several feet, you know, long, and just allow the water to drain better. And you can either throw that back on the trail or throw it on the uphill side. So that's really like, I mean, if we do 2 days of that in the spring, then everything, the rain runs off the whole rest of the year. You can ride the bike all the way through the fall when the rain's just running off it. You can ride it into the freezing, you know, time. You can mm-hmm. ride it into the snow. So really, that's a really important time for folks to turn out. It's usually in May. And then the other time we have a lot of maintenance is right about now, especially when we have the new trail construction. And the main thing we're looking at there, since we do, we've been using professional trail builders, and they will, you know, use machinery to go in there and dig the trails and move everything off. But the finish is really labor intensive, and wages are, you know, for laborers are really, really high. And so the federal government actually, you know, if we have a grant that we need a match for, the federal government counts almost $30 an hour for volunteer labor for a match. So if we can get 20 people out for, you know, 2 hours, I mean, yeah. I don't mm-hmm. know, do the math. It really quickly gives us credit for those grant matches.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're going to be having work parties. I don't know when this is going to air, but we're going to have them this fall regularly.
Yep.
And I know Vimba has maybe probably even more than that going on.
Let's I'm gonna do a little station break. This is you're listening to Outdoor Explorer, and we're talking about mountain biking in Eagle River and Tuviak and the Mattsu Valley. I have Will Tegan and Renee DeVries here with me. Renee, so volunteer opportunities out in Bimba land.
Yeah, so very similar. You know, I mean, summertime is the main time that we're going to need folks to show up and help us out. We've actually, a nice thing, we used to spend a lot of our time brush cutting, especially out there at the Government Peak Rec area, but we've contracted that out over the last few years.
Uh-huh.
Northern Trail Maintenance, I don't know if anybody knows Dusty out there, but yeah, they've done a fantastic job for us, but that's freed us up to actually work on tread and build berms and work on the trails, do more dirt work. So that's been great. The Matanuska Susitna Borough actually kicked in some money for that this year with a grant for us, so it's really helped out. Because you do get spread thin and you spend all your time just weed whacking, you know, a lot of their stuff doesn't get done. So yeah, so for us, the best way to reach out and volunteer, you can email info@vumbah.org, so V-M-B-A-H at O-R-G, and we'll get back to you. You can hit us up on Facebook or Instagram. I'll usually just throw my phone number in there if you do that, and you can give me a call. We'll get you on the list, and then what will happen is we'll kind of have like a Google Doc. It'll show, you know, what we're doing on, you know, and when, so you can kind of pick the day that you want to come out. Like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. I want to work out in the Greenbelt, or, oh, yeah, I'd like to do GPRA stuff, you know, so you can kind of pick your day. Yeah, give us a little heads up so we know who's coming. Yeah, go ahead.
Volunteers, yeah, they make the world go around.
Yeah.
So let's go to our last subject here, the Mountain Biking Summit.
Yes.
So once they start, Will, you want to start on that?
Well, I think Renee really said it in that they were, you know, spread thin.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of what everyone's running into, you know, the groups with single track advocates in Anchorage here, or Bikewood down in Girdwood, Salteshi Trails down in Soldotna. All of these groups are basically running on volunteer labor, and they've done an amazing, amazing job. I mean, simply amazing. But if you talk to any of these groups, they're all at capacity right now, you know? And so I see that we're doing a lot of the same things. And so we're hoping, so we've made a plan. We were meeting, Renee and I and folks from Anchorage and Juneau were meeting all winter trying to figure out how do we help each other out, you know, and how do we not, you know, duplicate efforts and reinvent the wheel here. And we came up with all these ideas, and really at the base we said we just got to get everyone in the same room. You know, we need everyone to like sit down and say, what are you doing? What's going great for you? What are your challenges? And kind of have a sharing session there. And so we wrote a couple grants, and we got some sponsorships, and we got commitments from all the major trail building groups you know, the greater Anchorage area, and all the youth program, mountain bike programs. And we're all getting together October 14th and 15th out at Government Peak for
good times.
For a shindig, for a summit, for like, what are you doing?
And you know, ultimately, I mean, something that we're working toward and kind of what this grew out of was perhaps having a organization that represents us all, you know, in the state of Alaska. So that's something we're going to talk about at the summit, you know, so that, you know, I mean, writing all these grants ourselves and, you know, having bake sales to build trails, I mean, that gets old, right? So, I mean, having a unified voice across the state, you know, might be hugely beneficial to all of us, you know, not only learning from one another, but being able to say the Alaska mountain biking community, right? And all of our members want this and will benefit from this. So, yeah, so that's one of the things.
I just think about how differently we fundraise. I was chatting with some of the Single Track Advocates board members, and they're really good at you know, private sponsorships, you know, and really getting the community to turn out, and individual donations and corporate sponsorships. And the beauty about that is really, you know, funds that are generously given that you that have very few strings. You know, you can just go and do what you need to do. The Valley has a connection with you know the, with some large. There's the Health Foundation, is it?
That's the Trails and Parks Foundation.
Trails and Parks
Health Foundation. Yeah, those are. Go ahead.
I'll let you talk about that. What's, so where do you guys get kind of like your study? It's that's.
In the past, I mean, we have used like the recreational trails program grants, RTP grants, and things of that nature. But, you know, probably the lion's share of the trails up there really grant funding came from Mattsu Trails and Parks Foundation, some matching grants from Rasmussen and a few others. I'd like to mention them all. But Mattsu Trails and Parks Foundation, huge sponsor. You know, they're typically the folks that we go to when we're looking to build something.
And so, but let's say I also want to stay on the mountain, the summit.
So I mean, I just speaking with the summit. So then, this is just an example of, you know, the funding is everyone does it so differently. So we need to, you know, I want to know how Mattsu is doing it and how Anchorage is doing it. Yeah. We're doing it very differently. And then it's also an opportunity, you know, we're hoping to invite the land managers, you know, the national parks or the state parks or national forests, I should say, or the state parks to say, hey, what do you guys want all of these groups to know? You know, what are your priorities? What's the best way to approach you? How can we you know, partner with you and having just one place where we can have all that communication happen, you know? So
we're pretty excited. We've got the International Mountain Biking Association, IMBA. Those folks are coming up and they're going to help facilitate the discussion around, you know, the state sort of joining forces and what's worked in other regions and other states, different models and how they've benefited, the pros, the cons, the pitfalls, all of that. So that's, we're pretty psyched to pick their brains when they're here. So,
yeah, I mean, we want to hear what everyone in the state is doing. I mean, if you, you know, I just got an email today that Willow is opening a little bike park, but
out in our neck of the woods, hadn't heard this.
Yeah. I don't know anyone there, but I'm really excited to meet them because we'd love to partner and help each other. And, you know,
so Willow, if you're listening, sign up for the summit
and, you know, invite Homer and Seward. And, you know, we have someone from Cooper Landing coming up.
Anybody Fairbanks? Anybody from this?
I got Fairbanks, who I haven't checked the registration, but we've been in touch with Fairbanks and Juno. Obviously, you know, in our intent, we're having it in Palmer because we wanted it to be in South Central where everyone is, but we also wanted to be a little respectful of the smaller communities and to host it outside of Anchorage. And so kind of Mattsu was our compromise to be close but not necessarily in the city. So we hope that's a really welcoming environment. GPRA has a lovely little,
we'll have some good music.
We're gonna have good music.
I hope so.
Oh man, I'm super excited.
And so we talk about funding, we talk about communication. What other things do, if I show up, I assume an individual can register,
of course,
right, eventually. Of course. And what else can I expect?
Well, a lot of it is so I really see that there's three main reasons for getting together. The first reason is the one we just talked about, and that is really strengthening the existing clubs and groups that are doing mountain biking and building that network and building those connections. The second reason for getting together is to kind of figure out what are we going to do to support mountain biking in areas of the state that don't have existing clubs. Mm-hmm. So we have all these trails on the Kenai, you know, Resurrection Pass and Johnson Pass and that don't have advocates for them. And so how, you know, everyone kind of rides them, but who's actually watching?
The Kenai Historical? There's an organization down there.
There is an organization watching the trails, and Alaska Trails is working on the long trail, the Alaska Traverse. But, You know, we have been really lucky in that the Turnagain Pass Trail is the contractors who are building for the National Forest are avid mountain bikers. So if you go and ride that trail, it is wonderful to hike, and it's amazing to ride.
I would say, maybe I'm not a rider. I mean, to be a devil's advocate here, I don't. Does every trail have to be a bison trail?
I think
we are the Valley Mountain bikers and hikers.
I don't think that's not what we're asking for.
Okay.
But we are asking for, you know, a route. So right now the federal government is trying to pass, and this is IMBA, what IMBA's doing at the national level, who we're partnering with for this summit, the Biking on Long Distance Trails Act, which is designating, you know, these long distance bikepacking adventures, which is what we do on the Kenai right now. I mean, we've got the Kenai 250 race that pieces together all these trails. The problem is we've got little segments that don't connect, little segments that are on the road, or little segments, you know, and so it makes sense that if you have this mostly connected system, that you should connect it, and it's important to advocate, you know, if you're trying to put a bike trail together, that you should be able to.
Yeah,
to bike
it's an interesting question to me, because I do think there are people out there who don't think that not everything needs to be a bike.
Well, I actually agree. I do think that there are some, you know, some trails that are not appropriate, but we have this. Kind of the strange thing at least in Anchorage and Chugach Eagle River, where the Muni parks are open to biking unless closed, but the state park is closed unless open. So it's kind of two different approaches to it. And there's a lot to unpack there.
I would just say, you know, like
we got about a minute left.
Depends on your organization. You know, if you're in hiking trails, you're going to advocate for those. And biking, you're going to advocate for those. If it's motorized, I mean, you know, we're all doing our thing. You know, our passion, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and we really are trying to improve trails for everybody. Yeah. But you know, we think it's a good thing.
And I know the summit idea. I like the summit. I bike. I single track bike. But I'm interested in going just to have voices in there. It'd be useful to have different voices in there. And talking about the bigger picture. I've thought for a while that there needs to be something like this, and there needs to be discussion about the larger plan, what's enough? Mm-hmm. Like, we just keep building trails, or at some point we say, well, we have enough, and now we need to maintain them. And so I think that's my interest in this summit. So the Mountain Biking Summit is October, what do we got? October
14th and 15th.
Out at the Valley, the Government Peak Recreation Area Chalet. Mm-hmm. And people will have a website eventually on the Outdoor Explorer website that people can get registered for once that's up and running. Mm-hmm.
The domain has been purchased.
And I'd like just to thank both of you for Will and Renee for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks,
that was great.
My guests today have been Will Tagan with the Chugach Mountain Bike Riders and Renee Derbez with the Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers. A big thanks to our producer, Eric Bork. I'm your host, Paul Tordock, and from all the hosts at Outdoor Explorer, thanks for listening, ride safe, and we'll see you outdoors.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and in your favorite podcast app. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.